Hi, this is Katie Lovett, and you're listening to Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas.
Hi, folks, and welcome. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas. Merry Advent. Happy Advent. Blessed Advent. We'll pick your greeting, but we made it. We're here. It's Christmas Eve. Can you believe it? And I know for many of you, especially you kids, you cannot wait till tomorrow. You're counting it down and all the excitement that's going to come with it. Christmas can't come soon enough. Now, I think that's probably true for us all this year. What a year it's been. Most of us have never seen, let alone lived through, a year like this one. We could all really use some Christmas. We could all stand, I think, to really rediscover Christmas. Now, as you know, for the past 4 weeks, we've been on a journey together through Advent. We've learned that Advent is a season of expectant waiting as we focus and reflect on Christ's coming, his coming to earth long ago at the very first Christmas, as well as his eventual triumphant return to complete God's ultimate work of redemption. Now, each week, the Advent sermons focused on a different attribute of God's character as embodied in Jesus Christ. We talked about hope, peace, joy, and love. And today we finish our Advent journey with a message titled, Finding Christ in Our World. Now the Christmas story, it's a powerful story. It's filled with wonder and miracles and very real life. It is the story of Jesus come to earth as the most wonderful gift for all eternity. As we've walked through these various parts of the Christmas story, we've explored the intersection of Jesus and the lives of very real people who played a role in his arrival. And we've seen that as he's brought hope and peace and joy and love into their lives in very real ways, we've learned that he'll do the same for us today. Now, in the time we have left, let's briefly retrace our journey through the portions of the Christmas story, highlighting all that it means that Christ is come and all we can rediscover about Christmas in him. Are you ready? Let's go back to that very first attribute of hope and talk about finding hope in our uncertainties. When uncertainty surrounds us, the promise of Christ fills us with hope to carry on. Hope is the breath that keeps us alive. Hope is the fuel of faith and dreams and possibilities. Hope is the whisper of maybe, just maybe. It's the spark in the cold darkness that catches flame. It's the flicker at the first light of the morning. In the worst of sufferings, in the worst atrocities and catastrophes of human history, there's always remained a flicker of hope. Throughout enslavement and imprisonment, torture and tragedy, there have been those who have clung to the smallest sparks of hope and fanned them within to an eventual survival and freedom and release. Throughout the history of the Jewish people, there was the hope of God's covenant. There was the promise of restoration and blessing through the Messiah. But time dragged on, and the nation was plundered. The people were exiled. They were conquered. How long, O God, was the cry of the ancient Israelite people, year after year, century after century that passed? But there were those who kept hope alive. They lived expectantly and faithfully. They trusted openly and wholeheartedly that God would come through. Simeon and Anna were two of those who encountered the baby Jesus and embodied that hope. They had lived long, very difficult lives. They had both known loss and disappointment, but they never abandoned hope. And when they saw the baby Jesus in the temple, he was just about 6 weeks old, they knew without a doubt that this was the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God. They were ready and waiting for that moment. And they embraced the moment of this hope, fulfilled with rejoicing and worshiping, and they spread the news. The flames of their hope spread and multiplied beyond. Friends, how is the flame of your hope today? This has been a tough year, the kind of year that threatens to extinguish the flames of our hope. Let me encourage you, no matter what you're facing and no matter where you're at, to rediscover hope this Christmas in the coming of the Christ child. With the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us, God has come to restore hope, the hope of salvation, the hope of restoration and healing, the hope of his continued work that he will one day complete in our bodies and souls and world. And as we come humbly to worship Jesus, we can find the renewal of his hope within us, the strength to take the next hopeful step, and the strength to carry us forward. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next, let's revisit the second attribute of God as embodied in Christ that we spoke of. It's called peace. And let's talk about finding peace in our struggles. The struggles are real, but the peace of Christ excels within us, even in our darkest days. Of course, the announcement of Jesus' birth came in the dark of the night. Of course, the angels began their announcement to the shepherds with, "Don't be afraid," because, of course, they were afraid. They're human. There is so much in the world that causes us fear today. There's so much that happens that we don't understand and we struggle with. For the shepherds, that included these magnificent, terrifying heavenly beings that were showing up in the middle of the night sky. For us, it's the normal pressures and disappointments and uncertainties of our frailty in a broken world. And that's true even without the turbulent events of this global pandemic. But in Jesus, the Prince of Peace arrived on earth, and the angels proclaimed a new peace. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." The favor of God is here with humans. The peace of shalom, that's the Jewish concept of fullness and safety and completeness and wholeness, is available to us. This is the peace of restoration with God. It is the peace that settles our souls so deeply. It's the calm acceptance that it is well with my soul, no matter what turbulent storms you're in right now. In a sense, it's almost like the coming of Jesus was the eye of the hurricane of human existence. The chaos of our world swirled before Jesus' earthly life and ministry, and it swirls after. But it's as if there's a cosmic pause that night when the angels sang. It's like it stopped for a minute in the eye of the storm when all was calm, and ordinary shepherds gathered around a baby who was God. It's my hope that we will rediscover the peace of Christ this Christmas. That peace, that contented wholeness that we long for, it provides the eye of the hurricane for our spirits, even in the midst of the storms. We know that these storms are going to come. There's no doubt about that. Those winds may be howling for you right now. But let me invite you to step into the shelter of the peace of Christ. Let me encourage you to turn your head to Christ, not away from him. Let me encourage you to bring him your hurts, bring him your needs, and let me trust with you that you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is the rediscovery of the peace of Christ in this season. Next, let's trace back to the third attribute we talked about, joy, and finding joy in our discouragements. We've all had one of those days. We've all had one of those weeks, and sometimes we've all had one of those years. Even when Christ fills us with joy that defies our circumstances, we find ourselves having one of those days. King David wrote in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." Sometimes that night feels really, really long, doesn't it? Sometimes it's night after night as we try to carry on. Sometimes happiness feels so elusive, so distant, so unattainable. Sometimes it pours out of us like the eruption of the geyser Old Faithful. And sometimes joy bubbles up slowly. But as we can rediscover this Christmas, the good news of great joy that is alive in us through Christ Jesus, it's the strength that will sustain us. We've seen this in the stories of Elizabeth and Mary, united in their shared joy of their miraculous pregnancies. For Elizabeth, joy was the fulfillment of a long-dashed dream of motherhood and the removal of the cultural shame and labeling because she was never able to bear a child. Her joy erased decades of disgrace. For Mary, it was a joy of the relief of acceptance and understanding and a celebration of being in the middle of God's greatest miracle. Surely Mary knew the scorn she was going to face, the disbelief, the misunderstanding of her pregnancy. But in her encounter with Elizabeth, she found the freedom of joy. For some of us, Christmas is a joyful season filled with songs and celebrations and traditions and comforts. For others, the expectations of Christmas joy serve as reminders of deeper pains, deeper disappointments, and the lack of all this happiness that we're supposed to be enjoying. Probably for most of us, Christmas brings a mixture of both. It's my hope that we'll all rediscover joy this Christmas. As we return our focus to Jesus, we can find his strength. As we pour out our hearts to him, even in the midst of all the pain and the suffering that we may be having, we can transform through his amazing grace that weeping into joy. And that lets us appreciate and enjoy the goodness of his greater works within us and within our world. It's my prayer, written by the Apostle Peter, that you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. This reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Amen. Lastly, let's revisit the last attribute that we talked about, the last attribute of God as embodied in Christ Jesus, and that is love. And let's talk briefly about finding love in our differences. There's so much in our world that drives us apart. The love of Christ, though, runs deeper than our differences with a flood of grace, forgiveness, and unity. We long to be deeply loved. The desire for love is so dominant in our culture. I think when future archaeologists and anthropologists explore artifacts of our era, they're probably going to conclude that love was one of, if not the most important quality in our society. Our songs, movies, TV shows, and literature are all filled with themes of love, longing for it, celebrating it, mourning at its loss. At Christmas, there's even a whole genre of holiday romance songs and movies and TV shows and such. We're captivated by love, but we struggle so badly to love each other on individual and societal levels. Instead of a culture that exemplifies love, we're a nation and a world filled with division and conflict and hatred, and despite our best intentions, our broken human nature divides us. Jesus, on the other hand, is the bridge of love that unites us. He is the long-promised Messiah, sent because God loves us so much that he allowed his one and only Son to be the sacrifice for all of our sins and shortcomings. And when he did, Jesus made the way for us to be restored into relationship with God. As we explored love on our Advent journey, we saw how God gathered a diverse group of people to be involved in the arrival of his Son. And as we discovered how these people represented the barriers and divisions that God was uniting, there were young and old, the earthly and the heavenly, the lowly and the noble, the Jew and the Gentile, clean and unclean, and so forth. Ultimately, there was God and humanity. As we rediscover this Christmas, it's my prayer that we'll rediscover the love of Christ, the perfect love that allows us to experience complete acceptance by God and the perfect love that removes all of our fears. And as this love washes over us and fulfills us from within, I pray that it propels us to reach across the divisions among us, even to our enemies, with humility and forgiveness and grace. And like the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:17 through 19, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Wow! What a love! That's our God. That is our Jesus. And so, we complete our Advent journey with finding Christ in our world. Christ has come with hope, peace, joy, and love. Christ has come to change our world, to change us forever. This is his arrival into our world as described in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. It's such a humble birth. It's such an understated beginning to life, yet such a normal entry into our existence, human birth as a fragile, helpless baby. Jesus is one of us, able to understand everything that we go through, all of our longings, all of our struggles, all of our pain, and yet Jesus is God. He's hope, he's joy, he's peace, and he's love personified. And he's here to restore these characteristics in you and I as a byproduct of a restored life in relationship to God. Jesus is life rediscovered. Friends, if you're struggling this year, maybe you've been asking, where is Jesus in all of this? Let me offer you this. Jesus is in our uncertainties, our struggles, our discouragements, and our differences. Jesus is in our celebrating and mourning. Jesus is in our crying and rejoicing. Jesus is in our fears, and he's in our triumphs. Jesus is in our losses and our victories. Jesus is in our brokenness and healing. He's in our sickness and our health. He's in our life, and he's in death. Wherever you are, Jesus is there, and he's working and he's moving. He's offering you life. He's offering forgiveness. He's calling us to trust him and to see beyond our immediate circumstances to his bigger, deeper, broader, wider, higher picture and work. Jesus is in our world. He's in our lives. He is Emmanuel, God with us for eternity. And he will never, ever leave you or forsake you. The angel proclaimed, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Jesus is the discovery of Christmas. Let's run like the shepherds to encounter him this season. Let's worship and find renewal in his presence this year. Let's rediscover Christmas in the life that he brings within us and around us. Merry Christmas. Christ has come. Christ is here among us. And Christ will come again. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.